the Lord kept bringing me back. When I was a young adult, we went to see my brother in North Dakota. And it was in the spring. He was graduating from Bible college. And the very first time that we laid eyes on the sunflower fields, it was spectacular. I mean, this is a picture when they're lower, but they get really tall, and they're just, it's just beautiful. I remember when we first came up on them, we're all like, whoa, oh my word, they're amazing. And they were amazing for about the first mile, and then the second mile, and then 20 minutes into the trip, and then 45 minutes into the trip. I'm telling you, these sunflower fields went on forever and ever and ever. It just seemed like, okay, wheat would be good. A house would be good. It was just, it was spectacular to begin with, but it just kept going and going and going. It was like, whoa. And the word that rang in my heart, I remember even as a young adult, was, that is an abundant amount of sunflowers. An abundant amount. Now, when that farmer or farmers went out and they planted that seed, they didn't plant a whole flower, did they? No, they went out and they planted one seed. Ploop. Well, they probably didn't. Now it's probably done by machine. But one seed was put into the ground. One seed, one seed, one seed. And in each sunflower flower, there are hundreds of seeds that are produced. And so as it took us all this time to drive past these fields, I couldn't help but think how happy the farmer or the owner of these fields must be to see such an abundant harvest. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Malachi 3. And we are going to be in verse 9. And it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I feel like this year, we're going to see a lot of sunflowers. I feel like this year, we're going to start driving into 2019, and we're going to go, wow, God, that was amazing. Look what you did. But then as we keep going and going and going and going and going, we're going to keep seeing sunflower field after sunflower field after sunflower field after sunflower field after sunflower field. I feel like that the blessing of the Lord is going to be so rich this year that we're all going to go, he's still going, like the Energizer Bunny. He's still going. He's still going. He's still going. That just like we kept driving and driving and we're not seeing the end of those sunflower fields, that we're not going to see the end of the blessing of the Lord. His word promises that when you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, there's a point in this verse that says that he will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Read that again. There will not be room enough to store it. There will not be room enough to store it. I don't know about you, but I got some room in my bank account. It was good when we left 2018, but I got room in there. And I'm sure the bank would allow me to add more to my bank accounts, right? Those are our storehouses. And I'm looking for this year to be a year that there's not room enough to contain it. We're going to have to go to banks, multiple, because the blessing of the Lord is going to be so much. Now, you might be sitting there going, man, Shelley, you don't know my circumstance. And I'm going to say back to you, man, you don't know my God. My God is able. He is able. The same God that can take one seed that a farmer puts in the ground and grow up a flower that has hundreds of seeds. I've never personally counted them all out. There might be thousands. But we can be safe with hundreds. If he can do that, he can take your tithes and offerings that you give him, one tithe and offering that you place into the ground. He can grow up a flower or a tree or a forest of blessings for you. Amen? Yeah. Our God is able today. And sometimes we think, well, but you know, I've been planting and sowing and planting and sowing, and I've seen a little bit, but I haven't seen a lot. Do you know some harvests take a while to get in? But God will not be mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. It says another portion of the New Testament, pressed down, shaking, running over. Running over. That tells me there's not room enough to contain it. When it's running over, will men give to you? Our God is able today. We need to go into 2019 and go, anything's possible with the Lord in my finances this year. Anything. Say that with me. Anything's possible in 2019 with my finances. Our God is able. I look at Pastor Steve and I's life, and I've told you this before. I remember going to the grocery store and dreaming of the day when I would get to spend $100 on groceries. I spend more than that now. Why? Right there. The harvest. Sometimes we get so caught up in where we are today, we forget where we've been and what God has brought us to. So make sure you take time as we begin this new year to praise him for all the things he's done, for all the ways that he has touched your finances. But then praise him for everything that's coming in 2019. Amen? God has a plan, not room enough to contain it. You know why he wants to bless us? So that table over there, our opportunity table where you can give, there won't be room enough in here to contain it. For our missionaries that we give to, they won't have enough room to contain it. Do you see what happens? Not only do you get blessed, but the people around you get blessed. Your church gets blessed. The people that we give to get blessed. Amen? We are the ones that God can flow through to touch the world around us. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about sunflowers. And I'm excited to see that they never end. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We praise you, Father, not room enough to contain it, not enough room to contain the blessing of the Lord. We thank you, Father, today for your anointing and your favor upon this church and upon every person that is represented here today. We thank you, God, that our job is to bring our whole tithe and offering into the storehouse, to bring it into your kingdom, Father, that there may be food in your house, that there may be needs provided in your house. And then what happens? We are blessed. The floodgates of heaven open and pour out such a blessing that we see endless, endless, endless fields of sunflowers in our lives. Father, I pray that even as we sow our seed, we'd stop seeing it as something that's small. We'd start seeing it as something with potential. Potential for a harvest. And God, I just pray over every house as represented today. I thank you, Lord, for the right jobs, for the right incomes, for the right places to be at the right time. Father, we just call in things that have been held back from people. Maybe there were blessings that should have been given. Maybe there was inheritances, or maybe there were bonuses that were held back from people in this room. I thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name, angels are going forth and bringing those things in Jesus' name. What was lost, you are going to cause to be found, and it's going to be with interest. because the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, you came to give life and life more abundantly. And so we speak to all of those things, Father, that have been stolen or lost or skipped over, Father. They are coming forth this year in Jesus' name. And that we will be faithful, God. Money is not our ruler. We rule money. By the power of God and by our tithes and offerings, we break that hold of money on our lives. And we thank you, God, that we are going to be the most giving church Vancouver has ever seen. That the finances are literally going to flow through us to the needs of the people around us. And that they will be touched not just by the giving, but by the giver, you, Lord. And that you would get all the praise and all the glory. And we give you all the honor today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
New Year, kids. You guys are going to have a great Bible class today like you always do. I know you got a great teacher. Amen. Well, let's pray over this message this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today regarding vision, Lord God, for over this church, Lord, over your body, across the world, Lord God, even over our nation, over the nation of Israel, Lord God, and Father, over all of us individually, Lord. We receive vision from heaven for our lives, Lord Jesus, and your blessing on this new year. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Well, we have some notes pages outside. I don't know, did anybody want an outline? Maybe didn't get one, because I think we may have a few more. You can just lift your hand, and Richard, thank you. We can make sure people get one who desire one. But welcome to Vision Day. Amen. This is something that generally, I feel stirred and led by the Lord to do every first Sunday of the year. It's good to know where we're going. Amen. So I appreciate now, especially me, I appreciate the new GPS technology nowadays. Anybody remember those days where you just didn't, if you didn't know where you were going, you had to pull over at a gas station or or something like that, right? Hit a payphone, right? Well, praise God, the Holy Ghost knows where we're going. Amen? Sure, thank you. Yeah, thank you, sir. Amen. So, Vision Day 2019. I want to go over some things just about our church, you know, because it's good to know, as you know, as you're receiving vision for your life, amen, it's good to know who we are as a church. This is important to me. It's important that people hear this. That it's recorded, that people can listen to it, maybe who are new to the church or interested in the church and so forth. And, you know, every Christian church ought to be about Jesus. Who would agree with that, right? How do you know if you're going to the right church? Well, are they talking about Jesus? Are they talking about the Bible, right? Those are a couple good points to, you know, it's not very complicated, right? How do you know if you're at a Mexican food restaurant? Are there Mexicans? No, have you ever gone to one of those Mexican food restaurants and the people that serve you are gringos? You're like, oh, great. This must be Taco Bell or something, right? No. You know if you're at a good Mexican place, if there are Mexicans serving you and it's good Mexican authentic food, amen? And it's good. It's not difficult to know if you're at a Bible preaching church. How do you know if you're at a Bible teaching preaching church? Are they asking you to turn somewhere in the Bible, right? Amen. And so these are just some basics on, you know, are you in the right place, right? There's a lot of good churches in town, right? And it's good to let the Holy Ghost lead you to be where he's planted you. Amen. But our foundation chapter for our church is Psalm 107. So, and I brought like four different Bibles today. They're just different translations. They're not like, you know, different Bibles in terms of, you know, we're not going to look up something in the Muslim Bible and something in the Mormon Bible. No, we're going to go to the Holy Bible. Amen? How many of you believe that the Bible is God's written word? And that the Bible is not full of errors? The Bible is not incomplete? Amen. And even I hear, you know, stories of seminaries sometimes where I heard a story recently of a seminary professor who's an atheist. It's like, how is that possible? Yeah, well, he's here because he knows the Bible. Well, he obviously doesn't believe the Bible, so amen. But the Bible is God's word. Amen. But Psalm 107, I'll just actually start at the beginning here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How many think church ought to be a place you hear about the goodness of God, right? God is good. He's a good God. He's not mad at people. He's not waiting with a pocket load of lightning bolts and the other pocket full of baseball bats. No, God is a good God. He loves people, right? He didn't send Jesus because he was mad at people. He sent Jesus because he loves people. And he wants people to come to heaven to be with him forever. Amen? For his mercy endures forever. And that word mercy means loving kindness, right? So we have a merciful God, a God who's full of mercy. And then verse 2 is kind of our, if we had a key verse for our church, that this would be it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. How many of you know we have an enemy? And the enemy is not the Democrats. The enemy is not the Republicans, right? The enemy is not Iran or China or North Korea, right? The enemy is Satan. We have a spiritual enemy. He's the same enemy that's been there since before the world began, right? And God didn't create Satan. Satan created Satan. God created Satan to be a beautiful archangel named Lucifer. And he was found with pride in his heart, thought he would go and, you know, he invented the corporate ladder. I think I could do better than God. What would this place be without me? And he convinced a third of God's holy angels to follow him in his rebellion. And it lasted about that long, right? Cast out of heaven like a lightning bolt. And he's been trying to establish his kingdom here on this planet ever since. So if you turn on the news and something bad is happening, it's not an act of God. Capital G God. It's an act of the devil, right? The devil can't do anything without the cooperation of a human being. And the Holy Ghost is not going to do anything without the cooperation of people. Amen? And so it's important to have that, you know, these are not difficult concepts. We're not talking about, you know, calculus. When I went to college and math was not my strong suit and I was in college algebra because I knew it would transfer. And I think it was college algebra that they called it, where there's graphing. And man, I had to take it, I think, 4 times, and I would drop it on the last day you could drop it without it being on your, whatever, what do they call that? Your transcripts, yeah. And so finally the 4th time, I knew I was probably gonna make it. So I went on through, got a C, right? For complete. I completed it. And then they were all proud of me. Hey, you're ready for calculus. And I had friends in high school that were in calculus, like as juniors. I think my daughter, are you in calculus? Lacey's been in calculus for a while. And my first day of calculus, I realized I was called to ministry. It's like, nope, thank you. I'm done. That's as much as I need to know. Because I got a C and I don't even remember what that was about, right? Praise the Lord. But understanding God is good, devil is bad. This is like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Amen. We're talking counting fingers and toes. This is simple stuff. Religion tries to complicate things. Jesus is so simple, children understood him. Right? God good, devil bad. Heaven nice, hell bad. What's the matter of your opinion? Somebody might be in hell celebrating right now. I don't think so. Amen. So the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he, capital H. It's another thing that religion will tell you is you can redeem yourself. Right? If you don't want to come back as a frog, be a really good human. Right? Some religions will say, yeah, Jesus did all that stuff, but you still have to knock on doors and try to get people to join your faith or else you're not saved. Lies. Somebody say lies. This is not true. This is not true. Yes, the Bible is true mostly, but it's incomplete. And you also need this book. Somebody say lies. This is not true. No matter how many millions of people say that that's true, it's not true. Oh, Jesus is not the only way. There's many ways to God. Lies. Nobody else. Listen, this is even the cross is in the shape of a plus sign. We're talking addition, subtraction here. Okay? Nobody else died for my sins but Jesus Christ. Nobody. Buddha didn't do this. Joe Smith didn't do this. Muhammad didn't do this. I sure couldn't do this. Oprah didn't do it, right? Dr. Phil didn't do it. President Obama didn't do it. Nobody. Somebody say nobody but Jesus. Amen. Nobody but Jesus. One way. So when it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you're saying, I know who my Redeemer is. And it's not me. See, a lot of folks would say, well, I don't really need a Redeemer. I haven't done anything all that bad. Lies. Lies, right? Sin is every person who's ever been born on this planet has been born into sin, born under sin, has committed sin. And sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus, right? So we all need him, no matter how saintly we've lived. We don't pray to saints either. We praise God for the saints. The saints are praying for us. They're interceding for you. But I don't have to call Saint Joseph. Well, you're not good enough to go to God yourself. Oh, really? The Bible tells me that Jesus shed his blood for me, so that brings me into the family of God. That makes God my father. That makes God your father. And you don't have to play games coming to see your father. He's not holding people in front of you. No, no, you have to go. Only one, somebody say one man got you to the Father. Jesus. So you come to the Father yourself. You have every right. Don't let anybody tell you any different. You have every right to come to God yourself. And the responsibility to come to God yourself. In this society we live in, where you can pull up on your phone anything you want to know. Not all of it probably is true. But we have no excuse in the United States of America for not having this down. It's a free country. There is no excuse for any American citizen to not have this basic thing down. Amen? We have a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus, and he has redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. Don't you know there is a devil out there who's setting states on fire? Who's bringing hurricanes, who's killing children, who's creating religion, right? Who is separating people through racism, you name it. That ain't God. No, no. Amen? So we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What does that mean exactly? It means everything you don't want, you've been redeemed from that. Death, sickness, disease, poverty, strife, pain, sin, ultimately hell for eternity. Right? Amen. This is good news. This is good news. Amen. And the word redeem means this. This is from the concordance. It means to buy back, to pay off, and to recover. Well, one thing every believer needs to have is this thing called humility, God humility. Not talking about debasing yourself, humility. Talking about coming to him with your head bowed. One of the ministers I was listening to this morning at Eagle Mountain was talking about harvest time. The wheat, the good wheat, is bowed down. And he said he learned this growing up on the farm or whatever. They had a thing called cheat. It was either cheat or wheat. The cheat was straight up. The wheat was bowed down. So we come to God bowed down. Lord, I really thank you that because of Jesus, I'm not going to hell forever. I thank you for cleansing me of all my sins, washing me in the blood. Amen? So he bought me back. Jesus bought me back from the devil, bought me back from all the curse that's on this planet. I belong to another. People belong to one or two gods. There isn't this whole list of God. The devil don't care who's on your list as long as he's not Jesus. Right? He don't care. Because you're his by default. And it's your fault. It won't be your fault. I won't be to blame because I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't want to be the minister that gets to heaven. Welcome to heaven, Pastor Steve. Where's those people that come to your church? Where are they at? Well, Lord, I didn't want to offend anyone. We had bills to pay. Lord, we had $10 million in the bank. I mean, I ain't going to impress God, $10 million in the bank. And you preach something, didn't offend people. You know, we're not out to offend people, right? But if the truth offends somebody, that's not the preacher's fault. Right? That's like yelling at the mailman for bringing a bill or something, right? No, we're just supposed to bring the truth, right? But there is a God who bought you back from the devil. Bought you back. But I have to receive that from him. It's not just automatic, right? I have a part to play in this. I have to do this thing called believe him and come to him in faith and come to him with my head bowed down. Lord, I receive, not bowed down in shame, bowed down in respect. This is my daddy, my heavenly father. And he'll lift your face up and say, look me in the eye. He'll do that. But we don't just come to him any old way we want to come to him. We come to him in faith, right? And in thanksgiving and in praise. Praise God. And we receive everything he has for us, right? But he's bought me back. See why we're called Redeemed Church? And that doesn't mean every other church, you know, sometimes you see all these church names or great names, and it doesn't mean that every other church is not redeemed. That's ridiculous, right? This is the name that the Lord gave us for this body, right? But he's redeemed his church, period, across the earth, man. To think we're the only ones would be silly. In fact, if you go anywhere and they tell you we're the only ones, that's the first sign to leave. We're the only ones doing it right. Everyone else is doing it wrong. Yikes, man. They're going to start passing out Kool-Aid. If that's No. Somebody say no, right? One way, though. One church, one body. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he bought me back. He paid it off. He paid off the sin debt. Jesus paid off my sin debt, and he recovered me forever. I've been recovered. I'm recovering. Somebody say, I've been recovered. Amen. Jesus paid off my sin debts. Praise the Lord. And synonyms for redeem are words like win back, recoup, regain, restore, ransom, change. The only lasting change anybody will ever experience will come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because the power of God gets involved. Amen. To discharge, to exchange, we come to him to make an exchange. Lord, I bring you my sins and I receive your righteousness over my life. Amen. As an example. To purchase, to recapture, to reinstate, to retrieve, to settle, to call in, to get back, to take in, to trade in. These are synonyms for redeem. Amen. So these are good things to look at and chew on and think about. Praise God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. Amen. And our church slogan is where love reigns. Don't you know God is love? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, all through the Word of God. God is love. God is love. So we want to be a place where love reigns, not judgment, not being critical of people, not religion, where love reigns. Where love reigns. Anybody in any condition of their life can come in this place and feel the love of God in this place. People who are, whether they're born again or not, come in this house. Amen. You can hear the gospel preached. You can participate in the worship service. We're not going to kick you out. I love Creflo Dollar said, you might come in here a little bit high, a little bit of this, a little bit that. He goes, welcome. Welcome into the house of God. As long as you're controlling your demons, you're welcome to be here. And you can get set free, amen? But there's nobody we're just going to say, this church is just for white people. This church is just for people who talk in tongues. This church is just for people with income over $100,000 a year. Well, come on, right? This church is just for people who are holy. Amen? Amen. So we serve a God of great love. Loves people. Loves people. One reason I'm in the ministry is because I love people. It would not be a good job. You ever gone to one of those businesses and you're like, you know what? You call the manager. You might want to put that person in the back unloading boxes or something because they're rude. They shouldn't be in the customer service area. Right? We serve a God who loves people. Amen. Psalm 107 verses 41 through 43 says this. And that we're confessing this over our church. These are things we're confessing and pressing into over our church. That you, people who come into this church, will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The mercy. The loving, that's what changes people. God's mercy is what changes people. Not rules. Not regulations. His mercy. His loving kindness. I can testify. Anybody else testify? That when you had a revelation of how loved you are by God, his mercy, his grace towards me, caused me to come after him. Not his rules and his to-dos and not to-dos. If you do this, you will go to hell. Well, I guess I'm going to hell because I've done that many times. No, you come to him in faith. You say, Lord, I receive your great loving kindness and mercy toward me. And I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to turn from that sin in my life. I'm going to turn from that habit pattern. I'm going to receive my freedom. I'm not saying I'm going to continue to live this way that I know is not right, but I'm going to come toward you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus did not allow my sin to separate us. So why should I allow my sin to separate us? Amen. So we just come to Jesus. Now, if you notice, redeemed has four E's in it, right? And each E has a meaning to it in our church. The first E, redeemed, the first E is for exalting Jesus. This is like a Sesame Street thing, right? E is for exalting Jesus, right? So how many think it's a good idea to be in a church that is exalting Jesus? Exalting Jesus. And that's Philippians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Philippians chapter 2, GE Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verses 8 through 11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Man, we could just preach there for a while, couldn't we? There's a lot of things people call themselves. Sick, right? Perverted, right? Tormented, addicted. No, no, no. Jesus is the name above that name. So we latch on to that by faith. We say, you know what? I'm no longer tormented by sin and sickness and disease. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I latch on to that name that's above every name. Whatever your last name is, Livengood. He's the name above Livengood. He's the name above Bean. He's the name above whatever that name is. Idiot. Watch what you call yourself, right? I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. I'm so ugly. I'm so fat. No, we ought not be ripping ourselves down. Just build up who Jesus is. Jesus is highly exalted, and that's the name above stupid. What I did might have been stupid, but I repent of that. Amen? And I'm coming to Jesus. At the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee, somebody say every knee, should bow of those in heaven, those in earth, and of those under the earth. Can you see Satan? There's going to come a day. Adolf Hitler, whoever you can think of. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be some surprises in heaven. There's going to be some people you see in heaven and be like, what are you doing here? Who let you in this place? Well, somewhere at some point, could have been at the last second of their life, they said, Jesus, save me! It's as easy as that, right? And there'll be some people, you'll be like, hey, where's so-and-so? Where are they? They weren't saved. They weren't saved, amen? They didn't come to Jesus. But the ugliest demonic force is going to come and bow their knee before God and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, before they are kicked out forever, amen? This is the wonderful thing. So what we can learn from that is don't wait till that day. Let's do it now on this side where all the marbles are. This life may seem short compared to eternity, but all the marbles are right here. The side where you can't physically see him, this is where God chose to put all the marbles. In this 80, 90, 100... The Bible says we can believe for 120 years. That sounds bizarre, but you know what? When God told Noah that, it sounded bizarre to him too, because he was 500, 600 years old. And God said, man's day from now on is going to be 120 years. That was a curse to us on this side. It's like, wow, there's something to believe for. Amen? But this is where all the marbles are, man. We believe him now, and we enter into heaven later. Amen? So let's believe now. Somebody say, believe now. Now would be a good time. I love these commercials about retirement and everything, and it makes it look like that's all there is. Call us. You need our help. Just go fishing. Just go buy a boat and live there. Because that's all there is. I would love to see a commercial that talks about your eternal retirement, right? Call us. Call Jesus. Because there's one of two places people go, up or down. Doesn't matter what nationality, what gender, either male or female. You know, it's becoming more and more clear now why God is so simplistic in the Word of God when he says, I created them, male and female. Because he knew 2019 was coming. I created them, male and female. That's it. Amen. There's not 82 genders. Just two. There's not 82 places to spend eternity. Just two. Amen. Somebody say simple. Simple. Right? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. So exalting Jesus. The church ought to be a place where you hear about Jesus. Jesus came in the manger. He was prophesied for many. He was prophesied since the Garden of Eden when God told the serpent, right? That woman that you deceived, her kid is going to bruise his heel, crushing your head. What was God doing? He was calling the end from the beginning. And then throughout Scripture, he's coming. There's someone's coming. He's going to crush your head. Someone's coming. He's going to crush your head. And then in Bethlehem, we just talked about the Bethlehem story. He came and he didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And that is our blessed hope, our faith in him. Amen. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? He's coming again. He's coming back in all heaven with him. There's a place called heaven, but don't you know this planet needs, anybody see anything on the news that would signify this planet needs some fixing? Right? The lease that God gave to men is almost up. The devil has had his eviction notice for many years, and he is pillaging, killing, and destroying on his way out, like a snake with its head cut off, flopping around, burning up states and killing people. He's psycho, man. Right? So what do? We remember Jesus is coming again, and he's coming for a glorious church. Praise God, and we want to be ready because he could come today. He could come before we say amen. And for some folks, it might be like, please say amen. I got stuff to do today. Well, give God some time, right? Hallelujah. But the second E is for encouraging his people. Encouraging his people. 1 Corinthians, and I brought my NIV translation for this verse. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. How many know church ought to be a place where you are encouraged, which means built up. Built up. Now, don't mistake God's correction, because sometimes stuff is said or spoken or preached on and it makes us uncomfortable. Right? That's all right. Have you ever been to the gym before? Or if you played sports, the first few days of practice, it's like, oh man. My son had his first basketball game yesterday and the other team was fast. And that was their second game. They played a back-to-back doubleheader. And our kids played them in their second game, and they still horse raced them. I mean, they were fast. And they're like, well, sometimes you come to church, and it might feel, or you read something in the Word, and it's like, 120 years? What? Just say, I believe it. I choose to believe it, right? And we choose to be encouraged by God's Word. If you're following Jesus, then God's Word is encouraging. Amen? To the devil, it is bad news to hear Jesus is coming back. I've seen bumper stickers that say, Jesus is coming soon. Look busy. The boss is coming back. No, no, no. Be ready. Be ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. Right? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. Especially prophecy, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Somebody say strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Man, gone are the days of the place you go to be tore down, told how pitiful you are. I remember my pastor years ago talking about one of the services he was in, and the 3 points were, you are mud, you are misery, and you are maggots in the sight of God. Let's pass the offering plates. No, God does not tear you down, right? He builds you up. He builds you up. Amen. So strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. E is for encouraging God's people. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next E is for equipping. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. equipping God's people. Somebody say, equip me, Lord. Love all these car commercials and stuff, and you might go to the dealership and they'll say, well, that price was for this model. And it has, you know, if you want tires and everything else, a steering wheel, then you're going to have to bump it up a few grand, right? Well, the Holy Ghost is here to equip you, right? Somebody say fully equipped. Now, religion will say, no, you don't need all that. You don't need tires. Horses and buggies still work, right? You don't need this thing called biblical prosperity. You know, $3 an hour will work. God wants you humble and poor. Nonsense, right? Amen. Somebody say, Lord, equip me. Equip me with your word. He equips you. He equips us with his word, right? Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's building up again, right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, equip me. And I love that, you know, unity of the faith. You will not hear me criticize ministers of the gospel. You will not hear me criticize denominations. You will not hear me call people out by name and say they're messed up. Why? Because I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether they're a Methodist brother or a Catholic brother, what, if they're preaching Jesus, if they're preaching salvation, that's my family. If they're upset about I pray in tongues or we preach prosperity and that you can be healed, I'm just preaching what I see in the Word of God. I'm preaching what I see Jesus has done for me. But I refuse to throw stones at my brothers and sisters, because that's my family. Amen? That's not what I'm called to do. That's not the kind of church this is. I've had people leave this church because they wanted to go there. And I said, I will not go there with you. I love you, but I'm not going there with you. And so they went away. Right? We're not going there. We love each other. Right? Equipping his people. You'll be equipped with the word of God here. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. In fact, Shelley put out on the reading schedules for you to be going through the Bible yourself this year. You ought to be reading the Word of God every day. Do you eat every day? Yeah, well, your spirit also needs to be fed. Somebody say every day. Multiple times a day. Yep, rocket fuel, right? Amen. And the final E is for embracing the world. It's from John 3:16. Even people that don't go to church a lot of times know John 3:16, right? You see the guy in the end zone maybe today who's holding up John 3:16, right? He got the good seat right in the end zone, right? John 3:16 and 17, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we're not here also to condemn and judge the world. Now, Jesus has called me out of the world, but I'm still in the world, right? One way to look at it is this. Did God save me? Yes. Then he could save them too. Is he still working on me? Am I finished yet? No. Then he could save somebody else too, right? We're here to reach the world. That's why we're going to be talking about missions organizations that we support and reaching other countries and doing stuff in our community and so forth, the Fish Food Bank, all these things, because we are about embracing the world, not the philosophies of the world, but embracing them with the love of God. There's a tremendous article on Brother Copeland's, if you KCM.org, and they've got a magazine, a monthly free publication called The Believer's Voice of Victory, I think is what it's called. And there's an article in there about a sister, a believer, who became known as the Cookie Lady, because her and some friends in her Bible study started going to strip clubs with boxes of chocolate chunk cookies for the employees. Not to preach at them, just to say, hey, we love you, how you doing? And they started developing relationships with these people. And there's tremendous testimonies coming from this. They found out a lot of the girls are just there working through college. Some of them are, you know, being controlled by psycho drug addict pimps and, you know, this nutty stuff. Other ones are there because they're single moms and have to have extra money. And they're one gal, she actually provided her information to get her out of that life into college, right? Another gal called her, she called and said, there's nutty stuff going on here. I need to get out, me and my friend. And so she got her out of it with a police officer that they work with. And her friend did not come out, and they found her dead the next day. Amazing stuff that God can do with somebody who's willing to be his hands and feet. Right? Just tremendous. It's a tremendous article. Powerful. Amazing thing. But Jesus is the same here as he is there, as he'll do it for anybody. Somebody say this, nobody is too far gone. Nobody is too far gone. If they're still breathing, they could get saved. They might be saved and just away from God, right? Amen. So we pray, we pray, we pray. We intercede for people. Part of embracing the world is praying for the world, praying that God touches them, praying that God opens their eyes, rebuking the devil that's blinding them. People in your own family, you could probably think of their names. Praying God sends somebody to their life that will reach them. Amen. Somebody say pray. Pray, right? Our core values. We have six core values. And these are some things that God put on my heart. I saw with Eagle Mountain International Church, a lot of these are the same as them. But these are just things for us to remember as core values of our church. The first one there is we walk in love. And that's Ephesians chapter 5. I'll tell you what, the love of God is what is changing my life. The love of God, his love for me. And I'm talking about you getting to know your knowledge and understanding and revelation of his love for you is what will change you, right? Is what will draw you closer to him. That might sound selfish, right? But if you don't eat physically, you'll be too weak to help somebody else. Amen? So you have to be growing in your revelation. I have to be growing in my revelation of his love for me so that I'm a sharp tool in his hand. Amen? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this, therefore be imitators of God. And we can even say it this way, because God is love. We could say this, therefore be imitators of love, capital L, as dear children, and walk in love, walk in God, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Somebody say, I walk in love. And a lot of times that is opposite to human nature, right down to how you're treated on the freeway, right? How that coworker is treating you, or that employee, or that supervisor, or that kid, or that grandchild, right? You know what I'm saying? Walk. Somebody say, walk in love. Amen. We had somebody at the school this week that we had to walk in love with because they were being kind of an ogre. And we had to send an email about it. But when you craft an email, don't send an email at 3 a.m. when you're mad, right? Or post that thing, react to that post. No, 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 no. Somebody say, I walk in love. I walk in love. I'm going to season this with, if there's anything I need to say, Lord, show me what I need to say, how I need to approach this. I don't even know how they're going to receive this, but this is something that needs to be said. Bounce it off someone that you know that's thinking like you. They may say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Or they may say, yeah, but maybe do this. You know what I'm saying? God will give you the wisdom, but we walk in love. Amen. How many of us, sometimes you just need to leave it alone. Let the Holy Ghost handle it. Amen. So we walk in love. We live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. We walk in love. We live by faith. The Bible says that faith is rooted and grounded in the love of God. Romans 1. So in other words, without the love of God, your faith won't work. No matter how strong your faith is, how hard you're believing for that thing, if you're not rooted in God, why does God want to heal you, for example? Because I have faith. I have faith for healing. I have the word of God. No, no, no. God heals me because he loves me. Why does God want to prosper you? Why does he want you increasing in the favor of God financially? Because I'm believing, because I'm tithing. No, because he loves me. My Father loves me. I would that every one of my kids was rich and never sick. And the Bible says I'm a wicked person compared to him. Right? So our faith needs to be rooted and grounded in his love for us. Amen? Now, Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That basically means for, you know, Jesus came first to Israel, but the Greek means the Gentile, basically, the rest of the world. Amen. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. What does that tell me? That tells me I cannot justify myself before God. I can only be justified before God by my faith in the work, the finished work of Jesus. Period. Somebody say, period. Carmen has a song called Jesus, period. Amen. And so everything I do for the Lord, I know, honey, everything, I love you. Everything I do for the Lord is not because I'm trying to justify myself before him. I do it because I love him. There's a difference there. Religion does things to try to earn favor and brownie points with the cosmic world or whatever. So, you know, the whole, what do they call that, karma thing? That's evil, man. That's religious. It's pride because you're doing it yourself. That's Satan, man. Satan's the one who came up with that. I can do this myself. Nonsense, right? We're justified by one thing, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The just will live by faith. The next thing, our next core value, we pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And I marked it in this Bible, because this is going to be kind of a Living Bible translation. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Now I'll tell you what, that's a problem in this world, isn't it? People afraid, people worrying. You wake up afraid, you wake up worried, go to this verse and then obey it, right? Don't worry about anything. Yeah, but Jimmy's out there somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. Well, what does it say right here? Don't worry about Jimmy, right? Instead, pray about Jimmy or whatever it is that's on your mind, right? Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So we're a church that is a praying church. We've got if you ever have a need for prayer, our email prayer chain is very effective. But do your own praying too. There's different types of prayer. In fact, I believe the first series that we get into this year is going to be in prayer. Because you need to know how to pray. As church, it's like teaching a Marine. You need to know how to shoot a gun. Yeah, we're watching Gomer Pyle right now. We got the old series, and Gomer is fun and he's happy, but he doesn't know a thing about being a Marine, does he? and so much to the church, you know. You know God wants you healed? Shazam! He does? Well, golly. You know there's a devil trying to kill us? Shazam! Well, golly. No, we need to understand. We pray about everything. Tell God about it. Amen? Come to God in faith. Tell him what you need. Believe him for it. Somebody say, I pray about everything. Don't gripe about everything. There's the psychologists, praise God for good psychologists and counselors, but the Holy Ghost is called the capital C counselor. I had somebody tell me once, my counselor told me if I come to church, 80% of my problems will go away. Go figure, right? Because why? You're connecting with God. Amen. This is good stuff, right? Next one, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. We're getting there. Somebody say we're getting there. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. This one is in the Amplified version I'm going to read to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and your heart, with your entire being, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first, somebody say first, in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. This is called, we put God's word first. That's another core value. We put God's word first. First and final authority is God's word. This will help you when the doctor's report comes. Praise God for doctors. The doctors will tell you what the facts may look like. But don't you know, there's a higher authority. Somebody say, there's a higher authority. I put God's word first. And there are scriptures that say things like, by his stripes, I was healed. So even if the doctor told me I got 3 months to live, I can say, you know what? In the name of Jesus right now, I come to God and I say his word is first and final authority. I receive my healing based on my God's words, and God does not lie. God invented my body. He can fix my body. I heard a testimony again this week of a lady that had leukemia, and she went to a healing meeting and had, you know, the word of God was preached. And, you know, if we want to see miracles, guys, we got to preach miracles. We don't come preaching miracles don't happen no more. God doesn't do it. He don't care about you like that. Your kid, oh, come on. Read your Bible. Miracles are all through it. And God is not all through with miracles. Right? This woman had leukemia, woke up one morning and her bed was soaked in blood, but she felt great. Her daughter panicked, came into the room. Mom, what happened? I don't know, but I feel great. Took her to the doctor. They did a blood test. No leukemia in her body. And her daughter said, well, could you check the blood that's in her nightgown? Full of leukemia. Jesus came in her room and did a blood transfusion. Miracles. Somebody say miracles. Miracles. Signs, wonders. And well, yeah, but we're all going to die. We got to die from something. Read your Bible. There's people who just went to bed and woke up in heaven. Didn't have to go through some awful sickness or accident. And by the way, church, 2019, there's coming a day soon when there'll be a trumpet that sounds and we all just are out of here. Who's rooting for that day, right? That will be a great day. That'll be a great day. But we put God's word first. We have to put God's word first, which means we have to be in God's word all the time. Amen? Two more. Matthew 28, 18 through 19. We make disciples. Another core value of ours is discipleship. And we're talking about, I'm not talking about a disciple of Steve Livengood, right? I'm talking about disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Even Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I stop following Christ, you have my permission to stop following me. And I've had people before that I had to stop following because they stopped following him. It's like, you know what? I love you, but I got one, somebody say one thing to do, one Lord, right? Matthew 28, 18 and 19 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Disciple, somebody say, I am a disciple of Jesus. It means you're a follower of Jesus. Amen. And who here believes there's probably something more to learn about Jesus, right? That's his disciples were with him 24/7. And they're my example. Praise the Lord. So we're followers of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. Why am I following him? Because I like where he's going. I believe who the word says he is, and I like where he's headed. Amen. And finally, Romans 8, 14 and 15, we are led by the Holy Spirit. So we're followers of Jesus and we're led by the Holy Spirit. Now, you can develop an ear to hear the Holy Spirit through studying the Word of God, coming to church, putting yourself in an environment where you can hear from him. Amen. But we all need to be people that are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in you when you get born again. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Somebody just say, Abba, Father. See, God is not the man upstairs to you. He is Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Amen? And so the Holy Ghost teaches you these things. Jesus, when Jesus left the planet, ever wondered why if Jesus rose again, where is he? Well, read the Bible. He left. Beam me up. He was out of here, right? He finished his project. He finished his plan, his purpose on the earth. And he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm sending the Holy Ghost. So he sent the Spirit of God to fill this earth, and all of us who believe in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads you. The Holy Spirit's purpose is not to talk about himself. He tells you this. He says, I'm here to reveal Jesus to you. And Jesus said, I'm going to reveal the Father to you. Glory to God. And where do you find this? In the Word. You come to the Word. You stay in church. Amen. You talk to him throughout the day. I remember I heard a minister recently and they asked him, how long do you pray every day? About 15 minutes. But then I never go 15 minutes without praying. It's a relationship. You're talking with him. My wife and I, we talk throughout the day. We text each other because we love each other. We're married. I don't come home and be like, yeah, well, there's some people got jobs where you can't do that. But I've got a job on the road a lot. And we can text off and on throughout the day. I always know what's going on generally. She always generally knows what's going on, right? Well, the Holy Ghost is even closer than that in your life. Amen? So we're followers of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Now, just quickly here on the back side of your notes, there's some prophetic words that we're standing on for this year. From a couple of prophetic ministries that I've plugged into for years. Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org and Brother Jerry Savelle at jerrysavelle.org. I'd encourage you to check their websites out, listen to some of that teaching. It's good to have ministry. Our website at Redeemed Church, what is it? Redeemed-church.org actually has a kind of a links area, places you can plug in. That where I get fed, where I get stirred up and built up as well. So they're just good places to go and hear the word preached, right? But Brother Copeland says this, 2019, and Shelley was touching on this too, is the year of abundant harvest. Amen? So whatever seed you're sowing, financially, spiritually, look for God to bring in an abundant harvest into your life. It also teaches me, watch what I don't want. If you don't want that coming back in your life in abundance, then don't call yourself stupid. Don't sow seeds of stupidity, right? Amen. How many know there's some seed we need to kill in the spirit, right? To say, Lord, I, in Jesus' name, I don't want that in my life. So I repent. I'm sorry I said or did that. In Jesus' name, I just surrender my life to you. I'm believing for your best, Lord. Praise the Lord, right? Brothers, and there's more to that. You can plug in and hear it yourself. But Jerry Seville ministry says this, 2019 will be a year of marvels, wonders, and extraordinary manifestations of the greatness of your God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I receive that. I receive that. Now, the world will copy this kind of stuff and call it, you know, fortune telling or whatever. The devil, all he is a counterfeit. Prophetic words are God saying, I'm going to do something. Fortune telling is witchcraft and the devil and all these kind of things. But when a prophet of God says something and speaks something, right? If you see it in the word, you don't just automatically receive. You say, if you see that in the word, you say, yeah, I believe it. And you press into it. Doesn't mean it's going to just happen automatically by magic. That's another thing. Fortune telling, it's just going to happen. No. You have to believe it, press into it, claim it for yourself, right? And for our church, Our aim, our thrust this year, as far as I know, is 2019 will be a year of supernatural promotion. Somebody say promotion. Supernatural promotion from God over your life. We will go to new levels of experiencing the favor of God. Somebody say the favor of God. The favor of God. I felt the Lord, I shared this last week, the Lord impressed on my heart to provoke the world, backslidden believers, whatever, provoke them to jealousy. He is going to put such blessing on you that people around you are going to be like, I want what you got. Amen. And a couple verses to remember as we close. Proverbs 4:7-8. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding and exalt her. And she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. What we're talking about here is the wisdom of God. Where do you get the wisdom of God? Again, this is not calculus, right? Somebody say, God's word. God's word. Doing what he says. Not just hearing what he says, but doing what he says. Amen? That's where you get wisdom. And you walk in that blessing. And then Psalm 5:12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Somebody say favor, right? You will surround him as with a shield. And I used to struggle with that term righteous. Well, I'm not righteous, dear Lord, you know. I did this or that or thought this or that or whatever. Well, no, you are made, Jesus was made your sin. And you are made his righteousness. So you got to get used to this saying, because Jesus is Lord of my life, I've been made the righteousness of God. Now, walking in holiness, that's a different story. Amen. The Holy Ghost helps you to be more holy, more Christ-like, right? But you have been made the righteousness of God by the blood of Jesus. And so what does that say? That qualifies you for the favor of God in your life. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Just thank him for that word today. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, I pray over the vision and your plan and purposes, Lord, for every person in this room, for everyone that hears this later, even online or whatever. We release vision over their lives, God. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for accomplishing your plans and your purposes for your people. And if there's anybody out there within the sound of my voice that you would say, you know what, I just need to make a commitment today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and I'm on His side, just say that in your heart right now. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, and I'm on your side, Lord. Take my life and do something with it. And I'll give you all the praise and glory. I receive your Holy Spirit, Lord, today. I receive your calling and purpose for my life. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks for coming, everybody. There's coffee and refreshments out in the Commons area. And Happy New Year to you. Amen.